the Lord Jesus was revealed from heaven to unveil the realm of life so that we can enter in and enjoy the totality of what the Father has freely given to us right from the foundation of the world. God is not behind the tribulation of mankind. God is not behind the hurts and the pains of mankind. Now we are seeing the desire, the innermost thoughts of God, the heartbeat of God, is to give us the kingdom. Is to cause us to enter into the kingdom. Praise God. For God will have that all men be saved. That is the wish of God. That is the heartbeat of God. So the series of messages, understanding that we are receiving from heaven, serve only one purpose, and that is to bring us into the place of life. For we know that where there is knowledge, where there are gifts, and where you have new revelation, day by day, all these things will pass away. See, because that is not the whole picture. The true picture of the end of the faith is love and perfection, is life, abundant life, liberty in the spirit, knowing God, knowing Him, knowing ourselves as He is known, as we are known of Him. Praise God. That is the end of the faith. So when we hear this series of messages, when we hear from the Lord's presence, what we are supposed to do is to allow these words convert us. Let them be our meditation day and night. So let them become life in us. Let them form life in us. Let them cause a quickening in us. Praise God. Let us not be like those who stand at the door and never enter in. See, let us not be like the prophets of 50s who stood afar off when Elisha followed Elijah beyond the veil. Let us not be hearers only and not doers of the word. Let us not be like those who see their true image in the mirror and forget how it looks like. But let us press on to enter into the place of life. Praise God. Now I'm going to talk about something very important, some of the secrets of the gospel. This is something that Jesus Christ, a phrase that Jesus Christ normally used during the days of his flesh. And we know it says that the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first. Jesus Christ certainly used this phrase in many of his parables. And as he appears as the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelation, he uses the same phrase. Praise God. And we ought to understand what the Father intends to communicate to us, you know, through those words. Let us remember that whenever Jesus Christ spoke, he was not speaking out of the flesh realm. Whenever he spoke as one speaking with the voice of the Alpha and the Omega. He spoke out of the Eden, the Garden of God. He spoke out of the Tree of Life. See, his communication was spiritual communication. Praise God. We just have to understand that the communication of Jesus is spiritual communication. Many of us, or rather many people, misinterpret the sayings of Jesus to mean something in relation to this material carnal world. No. Jesus Christ often said, "Where I am is where you will be." Some of you standing here will not taste that. Now, he was speaking from another dimension, from another realm. He was speaking from the spirit. So when he speaks to those who have ears to hear in the spirit. He does not speak into flesh and blood, because flesh and blood cannot hear him. That's why he says that the words that I speak, see, not all of you can receive them. So only those who are spiritually inclined to hear the things of the spirit. Praise God. We're going to look at the many parables of Jesus, and we're going to discover what the will of God is in these parables, and we also discover the thing that is hindering or hinders multitudes from entering into the place of life. Like I've always said, it's not a matter of listening or hearing the words of God, but it's a matter of applying them to our lives. It's a matter of benefiting from them. It's a matter of reaping after the Lord has sowed in our hearts. It's a matter of reaping eternal life. Praise God. Now, go quickly to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. "Then said one unto him, Lord, Are there few that be saved?" That's what he's saying, is that are there few people that will be saved? "And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us," and he shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence ye are." Then shall you begin to say, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast stood in our streets." But he shall say, "I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. And they shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last." Praise God. Now let's stop there. So Jesus Christ, somebody walks up to Jesus and asks Jesus, "But Jesus, is it a fact that very few people will be saved?" And Jesus Christ admonished this fellow, like, "Look, seek to enter in through the narrow gate, through the narrow path, through the narrow entrance. Seek to pass through that narrow gate. Because many will seek to enter in, but they will not be able to." And if Jesus Christ now goes further and, gives a kind of parable about, the owner of a house, the master of a house, that was risen up and, he shut the door of his house. You see, and some people came to the door, knocking at the door, asking the master to open. And the master told the person, "Look, I don't know you. I don't know who you are." Praise God. You see, but the person without the door begins to protest, saying, but we ate in your presence, we drank in your presence. You see, we are among your congregation listening to you, fellowshipping with you. You know us, don't you remember us? And the master says, look, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are talking about. Who are you? You see it? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. Praise God. And you know, as you depart from him, you enter into the realm of weeping and gnashing. See, the master is the Lord. And the house is the God's kingdom, is the house of God. Praise God. And many, many people seek to enter in to the place of life. Who doesn't want joy? Who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want to taste of the goodness of the Lord? Everybody wants to enter God's kingdom. Everybody wants to partake of life. See, but very few people identify with the narrow path. Very few people are able to enter, because majority tend to follow the broad path. See, this is the path of man. This is the tendency in most of us to deviate from that narrow path and to follow that broad path. And for this reason, many people become end time preachers. Many people write books. Many people speak about God's kingdom. They speak about the mysteries of God. But very few people enter in. Very few people enter into the place of life and partake of that, you know, joy that is in the Garden of Eden. Very few people enter. From age to age, very few, a handful enter. See, you might have groups. Big talk. Crusades upon crusades. Fellowships upon fellowships. Seminars upon seminars. But at the end of the day, what matters is how you apply the word to your life. It's not a matter of knowing, you know, or having understanding, or increasing in information, but it's how to apply these things to our life and let it work in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Those people protested. That, why do you say you don't know us? We were at your meetings. We listened to your words. We ate and we dined with you. Praise God. We fellowship with you. But he says, I do not know you. Praise God. Because the word of God is simply here to do one thing. To bring about our transformation. To bring about our convertation. That is, we are supposed to be converted. Transformed. Into the image of Christ. See, as long as we hold on to our lives as men upon the earth, we cannot enter into the place of life. As long as we hold on to our human identities, we cannot enter into the place of life. Praise God. It's only Christ that can enter through that door. That's why he says, I do not know you. Let us get this thing clear, brethren. In our humanity, we are unknown. Our humanity is just an imaginary invention from our minds and from the minds of people around us. Our human identity does not exist. Our human life does not exist. See it? When we go about living in carnality, living according to the intelligence of this dark age, we simply are not walking in relation to God the Father. We are not known of God. in that manner. God does not know me after the flesh. God does not know you after the flesh. God does not know the sister or the brother out there after the flesh. See, the flesh is simply a formation from our own carnal minds. Praise God. So if we are to see the place of life, if we are to enter in to be with God the Father, if we are to go through that door, we must put on the image of the Son. Because that is the one known of God. Praise God. See, we must be converted so that our last state will become like our first state. Now, what does this mean? Our first state is the state we had in the Spirit, in God, in the beginning, which is that immaculate state called Christ. That is the image of God. That is the true image we bore in the beginning in the bosom of God. See, and in that state, we were with God. We were encompassed in God. We were in the paradise of God. We were in the kingdom of God. Death did not exist. The pain and the tribulation which you suffer on the earth did not exist. We were in God, hidden God. See, but when we were introduced into this world, we lost all that knowledge. See, and we have created another personality for ourselves. We have created a human being of the dust. Praise God. Flesh and blood. And as we know, God does not bear flesh and blood. God is not the Father of flesh and blood. To enter back into God's kingdom, to enter into the place of life, into the realm, the bustling with springs of living water, we must be converted. We must be born again. We must be transformed. We must be converted. See, we must have a revelation of the beginning, of the first state, which we had in the beginning in God, and be converted so that our last state will be exactly like the first state, so that the last will be the first and the first will be the last. So that is the essence of the gospel, and that is our groaning, and that is what where our mind should be. That's where our focus to be. Our focus is to losing ourselves from the things that easily hold us, losing ourselves from the attachments to this rudiments of this world, and to link up back with God, the Father. Awake from the dust. Awake from the illusion of your mortal life. That is your problem. See, your mortal life, your life as a man of the earth, has, you know, hidden the infinite blessings that God gave you or presented to you right from the beginning. He has blocked your access into God's kingdom. Praise God. So that is why we are hearing this revelation today from above. We are hearing the word from above so that we are converted. Converted so that the end of the faith is simply our returning back to the way we were in Christ. Praise God. And it's only through Him that we can enter into the to enjoy freely upon the table of the Lord. That's why Jesus talks about a gathering. People will come from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. This is the gathering of the nations, of peoples, tongues, multitudes, as they gather into God's kingdom, back into that place of fellowship in the light, the way it was before the foundation was. The foundation of the world was. Praise God. Paul talked about a mysterious fellowship in light that has been before this world was. fellowship that the gospel is unveiling before men today. The gospel is bringing to light this fellowship that we had in the beginning. The gospel is bringing to light this fellowship that we lost to the darkness of this age. So that is the fellowship that we are being gathered back into in Christ. Praise God. That's why we all gather upon this table in heaven. Praise God. Fellowshipping with joy, with gladness. Praise God. In the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. We all multitudes gather into one. One body, which is a spiritual body. A celestial body. Praise God. And we enter into the place of life, fellowship, unlimited blessings. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the essence of the gospel is for us to enter. We don't want to be like those who hang outside the door. Praise God. We don't want to be talkers and not doers. Praise God. I remember somewhere I read in the scripture, while Jesus Christ was preaching, you know, a lady from the crowd shouted, "Oh, blessed, blessed are you, O Jesus. Blessed is the woman that delivered you. Blessed is your mother, a woman that would deliver a man with so much intelligence." And Jesus Christ turned and looked at her and told her, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and do it." See, it is only when we hear the word of God and apply it to our lives and do it, that we are blessed, that we can enter into the realm of unlimited blessings, that we can begin to enter into the place where we see the beauty and the love of God. And this is what God wants. He wants us to enter. He's not here to play games. Or we're not here to gather knowledge, you know, or to speak new revelations day and night. No. It's how to enter in. I've always said it. Somebody who does not have knowledge, or rather who does not have many words, but who just has a simple revelation of God's kingdom, who has that simple revelation of Christ in him, will enter into the place of life. Praise God. You will discover that some of us out here today have greater revelation of the word than some of those apostles of Jesus in days of old. See, but what matters is how you enter in. The word is supposed to cause you to enter. Many of those who protested without the door told Jesus. See, they were with him while he taught. See, they had eaten and drunk at his presence. See, I was with you all along when you were teaching me, when you were giving me the mysteries of the kingdom. I heard the mysteries of the kingdom. But Jesus Christ says, "I know you not. Get out of my sight, workers of iniquity. I know you not." See it? So these ones were there listening, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Always hearing, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Never coming to the place where they get what the Lord is actually pointing out. Praise God. So let us enter in through that narrow gate. Let us enter in so that we can enter into the company of the first and the last. Praise God. Let our last state be our first state. That immaculate state that we had in the spirit. When we function by the power of God. When we function by pure faith and love. Praise God. When we walked in harmony and in love with one another. When there was no vain glory. When there was only one name, and that was the name of the Lord. Let us be converted back into the Spirit. Let the word convert us. Praise God. Patience, conforming ourselves to the image. Our calling is to be conformed back to the image of Christ. That is our calling. See, our calling is not to gather knowledge, it's not to get end time revelations. But it's how to be conformed back. Praise God. Now, another instance, Jesus Christ mentioned the first and the last. Praise God. Says many that are first will be last. It's when he spoke about the eye of the needle. The eye of the needle is a very famous parable of Jesus. Of course, what led to this argument or the parable of the eye of the needle was this young man. A young man walked up to Jesus. You see this in Matthew chapter 10 from verse 17. Praise God. From verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and knelt to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into God's kingdom?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?" Praise God. Now let us pause there for now. So you see, Jesus Christ repeats these things again. He repeated that statement two times. How difficult it is for those who have riches upon the earth, who have great possessions, to enter into the kingdom of God. This was a young man who had worked religiously according to the letters, working religiously according to the letters, according to the laws of Moses. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, and thou shalt do that. See, and the man told Jesus that he had done all this thing right from his youth. This man desired to know the way into the place of life. How can I enter in to the place of life? How can I enter into the place of eternal life so that I can enjoy the life of God? How can I? This was the desire of the young man. This rich, religious young man. See it? Now that young man who walked up to Jesus is symbolic of the natural religious man with his self-righteousness, which is sense of self. He's the one who still has a life of his own upon the earth. See, the rich man, spiritually speaking, talks about one who is increased in the flesh in relation to this material world. He's a man of the dust. He's rich in relation to this world. See, you have a name to yourself in this world. You have the glories of this world to yourself. But the man of the spirit is not of this world. He's poor in relation to this world. The man of the spirit, you see, his riches is in the spirit. He does not have possessions in this world. He's not of this world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this man seeks to enter into the kingdom of God. He has performed, you know, religious acts. He's righteous by way of religion. But Jesus Christ looked at him. discerning that this man was not qualified, Jesus Christ told him, you have to sell all that you have so that you have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Then I will lead you into the place of life. Praise God. So this rich man was sad. He was sad at the sayings of Jesus. He was sad because he had great possessions. He had things to protect, to keep upon the earth. Praise God. Now, that thing that this man had upon the earth to keep is simply his life as a man. His treasure upon the earth is his sense of being, his human identity that he feels that he has to keep. Oh, praise God. This is the deceit that we all were initiated into from the when we entered into this world. We are all taught one way or the other to nurture the outer man of the flesh so that we kind of have some sense of belonging in this outer world, to get something in this outer world. And in the process, we corrupt ourselves. Praise God. In the book of Revelations, in the letter to the church of Laodicea, Jesus Christ says, you think that you are rich, but you do not know that you are, you know, you are miserable. You do not know you are poor and miserable. You think that you have gathered riches unto yourself. Praise God. That's the deceit of this world. You think that we can gain this world. The mindset of a man is to gain this world, is to gain some kind of knowledge of, you know, self in this outer world, in relation to men, indivisible, only to lose your life and your standing with God. So if that young man was to enter into the place of life, he had to convert himself back to the spirit, which is the poor man. You have to lose your life to gain the life of Christ. You have to lose your life as a man, as a human being. Praise God. Lose that self-identity, because those who will enter in are those who have the name of the Lord inscribed upon them. So that is the only name that is known of God. That is why in the letter to the church of Philadelphia, which is the sixth trumpet, the Lord says, I will give you a new name. I will write my new name upon you. I will write the name of the new Jerusalem upon you. And I will cause you to enter in. I will give you an open door into God's kingdom, into the new Jerusalem. I will cause you to be a pillar in the temple of my God. Praise God. I will give you a name which no man knoweth. That is the name of the Lord. That is the name of the invisible, incorruptible, immortal God. That is the name of Christ that is inscribed upon us. We who hear the gospel and obey the gospel. Praise God. So let us not deceive ourselves, you know, with our human sense of life. We have to let go of everything. Throw away our humanity in the garbage of history. Because it only brings hurt and greater delusion, greater pain and sorrow. Praise God. So the Lord says, I counsel you to come to me. Let's quickly turn to that message in the book of Revelations. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salves, that thou mayest see. Thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and loose, and you know, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and him with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit on my throne, even as I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Praise God. So you have to have ears to hear what God is indicating, what God is saying in this hour. If you want to go in through the door, if you want to enter into God's kingdom, because entering into God's kingdom means also access to the throne of God. Praise God. You must first of all recognize your state as a human being is nothing but miserable, wretched, blind, naked in the sight of God. Praise God. Let us not be deceived. There's nothing we can do as men. Our religious work cannot take us in. Our righteousness as human beings cannot take us in. All we need now is to let the Spirit of God, of the Lord, convert us. Let us allow that fellowship of the Lord to take place in our heart so that we are converted, transformed back into that true spiritual image. Praise God. If I am in the Spirit, the way I am from the beginning, I know no man after the flesh. I see only the creation, only the way the Father sees the creation. I walk as God. I am not a flesh and blood being. I am not born of a woman. I have been from the foundation of the world. I have no beginning and no end. I am not black nor white, not male and female. I have no attachment to this natural carnal world. My world is not of this natural world. I am of a spiritual kingdom. I might be in this world for a season to only testify of the truth, to act as a true witness, witnessing of the Father's kingdom, so that men may come back in and be saved. Praise God. So, like Jesus Christ says, we have to let go of all. Sell all our things to the poor. Distribute all that we have to the poor. Praise God. My finances now become that of Christ. My family becomes that of Christ. I do not exist. That's why I say, pick up your cross and follow me. See, the cross means death to self. Death to your human identity. Death to your carnal identity. Your human life. Hallelujah. Bear in mind that our goal is to bear the image of the heavenly. We have to let go of the image of the dust, image of the earthly, so that the image of the heavenly, which is that of the Lord, is the image that we bear. That is the end of the faith. Praise God. And that is the image we had in the beginning. That's why it says the first shall be the last. Our first state or our last state will be the first state. Praise God. Our last state is the first state. That state we lost. Hallelujah. Before we descended into mortality. Before we descended into the abyss of human living. And as you awaken, you begin to remember that in reality you are once there. You will know it. You smell it, you know it. Oh, hallelujah. As you are waking, as the Lord quickens you, you begin to realize that you've had this feeling before, that you are there before. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And let's move on back down to, we just discussed about what Jesus Christ says. He says that a rich man cannot enter in. And we say the rich man is the man with a material sense of life, a natural sense of life. If you have any attachment to this world as a human being, as a man, you cannot enter into God's kingdom. All your treasures have to be in heaven. See, divorce yourself totally. You have to leave all. Praise God. Hallelujah. And this thing happens as you enter into fellowship. Praise God. You don't just wake up one day and just start walking out into the woods. Say you are leaving all. You are leaving all for Christ. No. Praise God. You have to enter first into communion with the Christ. Let there be a fellowship sparked up in your heart, inside of you, and the Lord will lead you. He will lead you out. See, of this realm. Now let's quickly go back. Verse 25. We're going Mark chapter 10, verse 25. Back to the story of the rich young man. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, see it, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say, lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, very, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the brethren, and the gospels, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, lands, with persecution, and in the worlds to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, the last shall be first. Now, you see, Jesus Christ now talks about, those who will enter into the eye of the needle. Saying that a rich man cannot, is like a camel trying to enter into the eye of the needle, meaning that a rich man cannot enter into God's kingdom. A rich man is talking about the natural man, the carnal man, the man of the flesh, who has some kind of attachments to the beggarly elements of this world. He cannot enter into God's kingdom. Praise God. We have to awaken from the dust and get back into the spirit. The man of the spirit is the poor man. See, we have to wake back, enter back into that spiritual state we had in God, when all that we had was God, the power of God. It was in that state that we created the heavens and the earth. It was in that state that we all in union in one, but for that which is visible. It was in that state we were in the beginning that we controlled and we maintained this creation. Praise God. So we have to divorce ourselves back to that immaculate state we had in the beginning. No attachments to the material world. No attachments to the visible, to the natural. That is then we can enter into the God's kingdom. Praise God. Our attachments to this world defile us. Say it. Hallelujah. There's no way natural man, flesh and blood, can enter into God's kingdom. You must be born again. You must become spirit to enter God's kingdom. This transformation occurs as we fellowship patiently with the Lord and allow the Lord lead us. Say it, He will lead us. Let there be a confirmation and transformation in us. Praise God. Then we can enter back into the place of all power. Praise God. The realm of innocence and all power. Where we can, get our dominion back. God's kingdom talk of power. It talks of love. Oh, hallelujah. It talks of joy. Hallelujah. It talks of health. Peace. Hallelujah. It talks of divinity. Where you can begin to walk as God once more. Hallelujah. No more, with the problems of humanity. You are free. Free as a bird. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, passing through the eye of the needle, we can only pass through that narrow path only as we allow the world transform us. See, and you can see the disciples were astonished. Peter says, but Christ, we have left everything to follow you. We've left all to follow you. And you know, Jesus Christ now says, well, those of you who have left all to follow you, follow me, you've left all your attachments to the altar. You've abandoned your earthly identity and now walk strictly in relation to Christ. It's no longer I, but Christ. Christ who has been from the foundation of the world. Christ who is not male, who is not female. Christ who is not, you know, of this material world. Not longer I, but Christ. No longer I, but Christ. If you do that, you're going to gain hundredfold everything that you lose. With persecution, now your persecutions come from those who do not get the revelation that you have. Those who do not see what you see. Praise God. Remember that they crucified the Lord of glory simply because their eyes were blinded. They could not recognize him. Likewise, man, the persecution comes from those who do not have the revelation that you have. Those who can't comprehend that you are walking in the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Because the ways of God are not the ways of men. There are two different ways. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Jesus Christ makes it clear. He ends up this whole teaching saying that the first shall be the last and the last shall be the first. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is Christ. The first is Christ. The last is Christ. Praise God. Those who will find themselves in God's kingdom, those who will pass through the eyes of the needle, are those who return back to their original states. Those who have loosened their lives, they have obeyed the Lord. They have allowed the word, the incorruptible word, take a hold of them. They have allowed the Spirit of God take a hold of them. Praise God, and they've left that life in relation to the natural and start living in the Spirit. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. No more led by the spirit of this age or the natural spirit, the natural mind, but by the Spirit of God. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. The first and the last. In the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ appears as the Alpha and the Omega and declares that I am the first and I am the last. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. If you follow the teachings on the site, on the seven trumpets, and on the Alpha and the Omega, you will discover that the Alpha and the Omega that appears in the book of Revelation is none other than Christ. Praise God. The book of Revelation, Apocalypse, it starts off with the Alpha and the Omega and ends with the Alpha and the Omega. Praise God. That is the body of Christ. The Alpha and the Omega represents Christ. Oh, hallelujah. If you turn quickly to the book of Revelation chapter 1, it was John the Apostle who had this encounter in the Spirit with the Alpha and the Omega. He had this encounter in the Spirit, you know, where he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in a form that he never saw him before. Of course, he saw something almost similar to that appearance on the mountain of transfiguration, when Jesus Christ transfigured before the disciples, and, you know, his appearance was like light before them. See, but he appeared once more again to John the Apostle in an even more glorious manner. We see this in Revelation chapter 1 from verse 10. I was in the spirit on the last day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, you see, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. All these are prophetic utterances. All these are there to teach us certain things. Oh, hallelujah. Now continue. Unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as flames of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice has the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hands seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Oh, hallelujah! I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I live, am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou seest in the right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you follow the teachings on the seven trumpets, you have a clue, you know, greater understanding of this image that the Apostle John saw while on the island of Patmos. There's nowhere in the sky where you're going to see Jesus Christ in this form. All these are allegories explaining the attributes of the invisible, incorruptible God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that when he spoke with the sound of many waters. Hallelujah. And the Bible makes it clear that many waters talks of nations and tongues. It talks of a people's tribes upon the earth. Hallelujah. The body of the Alpha and Omega, like we know, is nothing but a composition of redeemed spirit. It's a composition of, you know, perfected spirits that gather in one in Christ. We who are being reconciled to God are gathered into that body. Hallelujah. For we know that the will of God is to gather all. Hallelujah. Is to gather all in Christ. To gather all of us in one in Christ. Hallelujah. Which is to, so that we can speak with the same voice, with the same mind. So that we can come to the unity of the faith that is in Christ. Praise God. That is the body of Christ we are seeing there. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end is Christ. I was dead and I'm now alive. I have the keys of hate. Oh, hallelujah. This is the key that is being applied, given to us today, so that we can enter into the door. So that we can leave the realm of death. We can leave the realm of sorrow of hell and enter into the place of life. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I am the first and the last. I descended. I became a man. I died as a man. But behold, I live now forevermore. We all have to follow that same trend. Hallelujah. Because in reality, that image the Apostle John saw in the book of Revelation chapter 1 is our image. Praise God. Individually and corporately, that is how we are. That is who we are. hallelujah. Praise God. So our last state is to be gathered back in that body. Praise God. When we descend into mortality, we lose that glory that the Apostle John saw in the Christ in the book of Revelation. Praise God. Because that glorious form where his body, you know, where he shone like the sun and he's, you know, he had an apparel of light, a garment of light. Where this, you know, double-edged sword came out of his mouth. Oh, hallelujah. Where he says, I am the Almighty God. Hallelujah. That is you and I. The way we are in the beginning. Praise God. Isn't it written that he has come to educate us? That we are part of that body? In 1 John chapter 5. That he has come to give us understanding. The understanding is the key of the kingdom. He has come to give us understanding that we are in that body, that we are part of that body, which is the body of the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. That body that was there in the beginning, the first body, the first image, the first state. Oh, hallelujah. He has come to give us understanding from where we came from and where we are going. Brethren, hallelujah. Whether you like it or not, that is the end of the faith. We all, the will of God is that we all are gathered back into that one body. And that is the last state. I am the first and the last. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if you hear the message now, the time has come to awaken back into the image of Christ, the heavenly image, the light image, the spiritual image. We have to ascend, ascend in the spirit. Ascend in the spirit. Loosen yourself from the grip of corruption and put on your immortal self, the consciousness of your true, immortal, invisible self. Praise God. Hallelujah. That is the only way we can enter. Only as we put on the image of the Christ. Only as we get back to that same image of light that John the Apostle saw in Apocalypse, in the book of Revelation, that we can enter in. Because in his hands is the fountain of living water. Hallelujah. Praise God. Only by him can we enter in to the New Jerusalem. Only by him can we enter into the place of pleasures and abundant life. Hallelujah. So let us not be at the door. Let us not hang at the door. Let us not be like the multitudes who remain upon the earth. But let us be like the little flock who follow the Lord Jesus as he ascends the mountain of transfiguration so that we can, you know, see ourselves the way we are from the foundation of the world and be converted to that foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Before Jesus Christ ascended the mountain where he transfigured and showed a similar image of himself in light, a spiritual image. You see this in the gospel accounts. When he transfigured before the disciples, he made a statement. He says that to live, you must lose your life. Praise God. Nobody, except you lose your life, you are not worthy of the life of Christ. You are not worthy of the life of the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. You are not worthy to be among the company of the first and the last. Praise God. We must lose our material sense of life. We must ascend up boldly. Hallelujah. Recognizing the fact that the power of God rests in the Alpha and the Omega. All the glory of God rests in the Alpha and the Omega. That same power that created the heavens and the earth rests in the Alpha and the Omega. Oh, hallelujah. It rests in the company of those who rediscover themselves back the way they were in the beginning. Hallelujah. So let us digest what we heard today. Before I round up, before I close. Hallelujah, the gospel has come convicting us. The gospel has come to give us hope, to give us an understanding. It's come to restore comfort to us, to restore the glory that we lost from in the beginning. Because what God creates is perfect. What God creates cannot be, you know, faulty in no way. We know that God is a bountiful God of love. And he does not withhold anything from himself and from his sons. Hallelujah. We know the desire of God is that as many see the Son, or rather comprehend the Son, as many as have the revelation of Christ and are converted into that image of Christ, he shall raise in the last day. The last day shall be the first day. Oh, hallelujah. The eternal day of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. The intention of God is that we come back home into the body of Christ. We awaken from the illusion of our human lives, human sense, and come back into the Spirit in Christ. In one. We are all one. Hallelujah. We are one body. Hallelujah. One spiritual body in the heavens. Hallelujah. With no attachments to this world, all we have is the power of God. Hallelujah. And the presence of God. In his presence is the fullness of joy. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. So our labor day and night is to allow the Spirit to lead us through. Trust God. Allow the Spirit to lead us through. Let the transformation take place in us. Hallelujah. Let us enter in through that gate. Through the door. Through that narrow path. Into life. So that our last state will be our first state. Many that are last will be the first. The first shall be the last. Hallelujah. If we do not get back to our first state, we cannot enter into the last. So let us waking up back into the image of Christ. This is the essence of the gospel. Amen.